another episode of the Behind the Line podcast, the official podcast of the Super Retriever series. And today, my guest is a guy that, if you've been paying attention this year, seems to be winning pretty much every event he enters, Carter Turner. We're excited to have him on the show. Be chatting with Carter here in just a second. You know, this episode of the Behind the Line podcast and the Super Retriever series are brought to you by Eukanuba. If you want to get the most of your dog in your training sessions, you need nutrition that holds nothing back. Eukanuba's premium performance lineup is built with the nutrients that dogs need to help unleash their maximum potential. This starts with providing energy that matches their efforts, supporting optimal nutrient delivery, and supporting post-exercise recovery. Check out the Eukanuba premium performance lineup and find your dog's fuel at eukanubasportingdog.com. As I said just a moment ago, really excited to talk to today's guest, Carter Turner. And Carter, if anyone just even logs on to superretrieverseries.com and looks at Team of the Year standings right now, you've got not one, not two, but three dogs in the running for it. So been a really great year for you so far, man. And we're really excited to have you on the podcast.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here.
For those people that may not know you, Carter, let's kind of start from the beginning. Where are you from? What's your background? And just tell us a little bit about, you know, your childhood and growing up.
Yes, sir. So I'm from Blackshear, Georgia. It's a little small town in southeast Georgia. Been messing with dogs now for quite some time, but only competitively for about 5-6 years. I work at Mossy Pond Retrievers and got to grow up from starting just doing young gun dogs and obedience dogs and worked my way up through the system and had some really good mentors over the last couple of years and luckily to get to where I am now.
Now, when you first started, were you always working with the guys at Mossy Pond or were you working with, you know, some other handlers as well?
Yes, sir. I've always been right here at Mossy Pond ever since about 10 years old. For about 5 or 6 years, I always threw birds for Brad Arrington, the owner of Mossy Pond, while he was working with field trialers, dogs, and had Hugh Arthur helping him a bunch. So I got to take in a bunch of knowledge just on from the bird throwing aspect, and I use that knowledge still today.
Did you always know that you wanted to be a professional dog trainer for a living, or was this something that just kind of came about one day?
For something, even when I was a little kid, I always enjoyed it. Coming out here, I'd spend all the summers and every afternoon coming out here throwing birds, and I said, I want to do this one day. I didn't know 100% that's what I was going to do, but I went to college at the University of Georgia, got a degree, and as soon as I graduated, I said, I want to get back into dogs, and went back and got a hold of Brad, and he was glad to have me, and I'm glad he gave me the opportunity to get where I am now.
What did you major in at UGA?
I majored in ag business.
And I imagine in some capacity, you still use that a little bit now in what you do, correct?
Yes, sir. I do some. Some of the stuff I learned I don't remember any of it. But the main reason I went there was my mom always wanted me to have a college degree, and I fulfilled that. And then I said, now I can get back into dogs.
Awesome. And when was that when you graduated and kind of got back in touch with Brad?
So I graduated in 2017, and the month after graduation started with Brad. I was throwing birds for him and training young dogs for him on the summer months and anytime school was already. So I already had it kind of planned even before graduation.
Initially, were you doing mostly, as you started, you know, doing more of the training yourself, were you starting to train dogs more for field trials, more for hunt tests, more for, you know, Super Retriever series where it kind of combines everything? What was really kind of your starting point in terms of really being one of the main, you know, trainers for these dogs?
So I never trained for the field trials. I started off just doing gun dogs and, you know, basic obedience for the competitions. Lee Howard was running all the master tests, and HRC at the time was very little. So I started training with doing all the basics on them and handing them off to him. And as I grew and gained more knowledge, I started being able to run the younger competition dogs and kept gaining and gaining. And now, fortunately, I have a crew of pretty much all old dogs with a few young dogs.
You mentioned Brad. You mentioned Lee. You know, what have those guys taught you as mentors?
Oh, tremendously amount, a lot. I also had Clark Kennington working with us for a little bit, and I watched him win a crown with Stroker. I've watched Lee place in 2 or 3 SRSs in the crown. And, man, just the amount of knowledge they have and being able to put it all together and then Brad, with all the knowledge he had from Hugh Arthur teaching him, showing him some ropes in the field trial game, and combining all that is led me to a lot of the things I know today and little tricks to make dogs click.
When did you first, have an interest in maybe competing in the Super Retriever Series?
From the time I started here at Mossy Pond after graduating college, Lee was already running the Super Retriever Series, and I'm very competitive, and I always said, I want to beat Lee, and he works with me. And then Clark came along, and he was very successful, and I said, man, this is awesome. And I was running young competition dogs, and I was eager to get into the Super Retriever Series, and the first opportunity I had was a little over a year ago, and I placed second, and I just fell in love with it then, and it ate me alive. Now I'm full swing with it.
Do you think the competitiveness and that desire to always win is a big advantage for you going out there each weekend?
Absolutely. I think what it does is, even when it's over with, win, lose, draw, just to get a sixth placement, I'm ready to go back and do more and get better throughout the week, and then show up the next weekend and hope it all pays off. And so far this year it has. And even some of the times when I've won this year so far, I've gone back like, I got to work on this. I want to be perfect. If a dog puts up a 30, that means there's 30 points wrong. And a 30 generally is pretty good.
30 is pretty generally good. Quick question in terms of, as you've started to compete more, what's one thing with the Super Retriever Series that might be a little easier than you anticipated? And what's one thing that's a little bit harder than maybe you thought it was going to be?
I guess one of the things easier part would be just getting comfortable up there. Every time I still got nerves at every time I go, but now that I've done it a few more times this year, the nerves are starting to ease, and I'm kind of eager to get to the crown just so I can see all the cameras in the face and see how that works, because I know that's going to be another knowledge. But when you step on that mat and step on the line in front of them judges, being able to get more comfortable up there, I thought that was going to be a really tough task, because I thought all the eyes was going to be on me. But it's starting to get where it's easier up there in front of everybody.
It's a lot easier when you're winning, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which, I don't know, you hold yourself to such a high standard. Going into the four series with the lead is never too fun. You know, it's all on you. It's yours to lose then.
As you get up there with your different dogs, dogs are like people. They all have different personalities. So how do you manage that, walk into the line maybe with Cappy one time, or walk in with Smack one time, or Shooter another time, okay, this dog reacts this way, and so I need to, change how I handle him at the line.
Oh, every time I get to the test, and they throw the test dog, and we throw the series, and I start in my mind thinking, okay, this is how each dog's, trying to break it down for each dog. And the crew of eight dogs I got for the SRS right now, every one of them are pretty similar, but they all have distinct differences. And it gives me a pretty good feel, so I'm never at a disadvantage too much, but I'm always have something that can hit home. And when I get up there, I've already calculated everything I think I should be doing. I'll sit there and watch all the other dogs, and as soon as I come out that holding line walking to the mat, I have a good game plan going in. And kind of feel it. And then I just let the dogs, sometimes it's best to stay out of the dog's way and let them do the work.
Yeah, let's expand on that a little bit. Sometimes if you see that something's going their way, how apprehensive are you up there? Because I know we watch every handler do it. You're like, okay, do I handle to the area over here? Do I blow the whistle? Do I let him figure it out and just go on a hunt on his own? Looks like he might be in the area of the bird. How do you make those decisions?
Some of them are pre-planned, and some of them are split-second decisions just based off what the dog does. And sometimes I wish I looked back and I said, I should have handled quicker, or I should have maybe let him work it out. Some of the times I look at the scoring, and once the scoring starts getting placed, and I'm like, man, they're really dinging you up for getting offline and hunting out of the area. And sometimes I say, well, if you handle quick, you might can get away with it, or you might need to let them hunt some. So I watch the dogs, and generally if they're going towards the area to fall, I let them roll. And I know each dog I got, some dogs ain't going to check up. Some's going to hunt a little short. Some can push through old falls good. And I just kind of watch them. And if I think they're going into hunt mode, I think I might be a little quick to handle sometimes compared to some other handlers.
You mentioned you have eight dogs that you're competing with. Let's talk about each one of them. You can talk about them in any order you want, but just give us a little breakdown of the dog, his or her personality, how old they are, and just really what you think their strengths are as a competitor.
Yes, sir. So we'll start with Cappy. He's spoken pretty well of his name this year. This is his first full year running the SRS. He's 8 years old, and he was brought up through the field trial game. I had to teach him a bunch about the hunt test stuff, and his personality is he's got a very calm demeanor. He's just real calm, loving dog. But as soon as he steps on the mat, it's all business. And he gets up there, and he wants to go long. That's the biggest thing about him is he wants to go long at all times. He don't want to check up. So I have to work him real good on the short birds. Take my time on go birds. He sometimes has problems with go birds. He'll pick up the memory birds good, but struggles a little bit on the go birds. So take my time and don't send him quick. Just the little things with him sends him a long way. But he wants to work with you and very desirable for the retrieve. The second dog I have is Smack. Smack, this is his second year running SRS, and he was a field trial background and had a big swing into the HRC game, which took him a while to learn. He did not like when you shot a gun beside him, which hurt him at times. Smack's starting to catch on pretty good now, and he very, very, very dependable on going where you want him to go. He will let you work him. He's going to run a straight line a lot, but when it's time to go find the bird, he'll go find it as well. The third dog I got is Shooter, and Shooter is – I'm very glad to be able to run Shooter this year. Lee's handed him off to me, and Shooter's just Shooter. He's a little bit of everything, but the best thing I got for him is he's seen it all so far. He's been there enough. He works with me. He shows me a lot of the things that I need to work on with some of my other dogs. If I can get Shooter to the fourth series, I feel really good with him a lot of times. My fourth dog will be Joe. Joe is a litter, well, he's a litter mate, but he is a sibling to Smack, a year older. And Joe is very, very, very compliant. The only desire about Joe is he will not veer off line. So if you don't line him up right, just perfect, he's not going to go get the bird. You know when you line him up wrong, he'll run dead straight and a long ways. He might be a little too watery at times, but generally he's pretty strong in the water. I got to get him to the water. Zeus is another dog I'm running. Zeus is a 10-year-old, and this will be his last year. Going to retire, and he qualified for the crown this year. And he is notorious for picking up poison birds, which is not good in this game. Zeus is I finally got him this year where he won't pick up the poison birds so far, and he is running very, very, very good for me. We've had some mishaps earlier in the year that cost him a couple placements that might have been on me for not handling and letting him get a little worn out and then trying to pick up the last few birds. But if he can just hold together for four series, he's pretty strong candidate. And then I start working down the list, and I got a dog named Blue, who this is only his fourth SRS. He's ran four SRSs, and he is very new to this game. I think Blue is 5 years old. He's field trial background. He has got a lot of work to go, but he's getting better, and every week I see him a lot better and better. And poison birds are still a little bit of a problem, but running the gun, he is his best series so far this year has been hunt test stuff, but which is funny being from a field trial background. Then I got a little young dog named Fly. She's just a little over 2 years old, and she has come a long way. She's an HRCH master hunter. She's special. She's going to be really nice. At the moment, she's just competing with every other good dog I have on the truck, which is hurting her chances, because there's sometimes she could get in, but I might throw some stuff for her where it might be a little too much for her. And at the test, it's one bird every time that gets her. And I think I named all of them.
Well, with all your dogs, you have a lot qualified for the crown. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in just a second. Do have to thank our sponsor one more quick time. We are talking to Carter Turner here on the Behind the Line podcast. and it is presented by Eukanuba. If you want to get everything your dog's got, you need nutrition that holds nothing back to help unleash your dog's maximum potential. Check out the Eukanuba Premium Performance lineup at EukanubaSportingDog.com. So you got a lot of dogs qualified for the crown. How many? Three, four? I believe at least four. Correct?
I got four. I got four qualified and need 1 point with Joe.
Okay, so you got Cappy, Smack, Shooter, and Zeus all qualified, and you need 1 point with Joe. Going in with five dogs, presumably you'll get Joe there, but four, maybe five dogs into the crown. How does that set you up for success? Because you never want to. Obviously, all these owners want their dogs to win. Obviously, you want to win and don't want to sandbag any of them. But how does having multiple dogs help you if one of your dogs struggles in a series and you go, okay, you know, dog A made this mistake, I'll make sure not to make that mistake with dog B.
Absolutely. And just like you just said, you know, I'm not in every one of them. I'm hoping at the end of the day is going to be first through fourth or first through fifth. But if one has a mishap early on, I'll be able to figure it out and hopefully not make the same mistake twice. It gives me allows me to get a better feel for the test, and it just gives my probability a little better to win. Each dog is like I said, was a little different, and they all have a little different quirk. So if I know the differences in them, when I get to the crown, if I see one dog does this and he's not known to do that, then I know there's probably a big factor there that my other dogs might fall to the same factor. It just gives me a better chance of seeing the test early, and I hope to get three or four more qualified if possible, the better the odds I got.
Did you expect to have this good of a year? I mean, you're a competitive guy, and you seem pretty confident in your abilities, but it seems every weekend I check, another SRS event this weekend. I look and I'm like, well, Carter Turner finished first, second, and third, or Carter Turner finished first and third, or second and fourth. Yeah. So it seems like you're having a kind of banner year. Were you expecting to break out like this year?
No, sir. This is actually a complete surprise. I knew I had some very, very nice animals standing beside me. And my goal for the year, I always set goals going into every year. And one of my goals is just win one SRS, just one, and make a name, a little splash. And I think I dove straight into the deep end, and I had very good success early on and kept it up. And now I'm like, okay, I got a little confidence, which is good. I feel very good about myself a little bit, but at the same time, I'm humbled because, you know, I still got to face a lot of good other handlers. And the good thing is I've faced it up against Steve Endurance a couple of times, and he's got some very nice dogs. And I got a little confidence knowing my dogs can run with him, which helps me out not going up there scared. I'm going up there kind of confident in them and knowing I can do the job.
The crown, though, is a bigger stage, and I'm not discounting that at all. I love their confidence. Do you think that you'll go into the crown with still that, hey, I know I belong to be here, right? I've performed all year. I didn't get here by luck. I got here by my performance. Or do you think that, to your point, you said you're looking forward a little bit to the TV cameras there being on you and the larger, you know, gallery being there watching. So what do you anticipate will be going through your mind as you step the line that first time at the crown?
I would have to say it's going to be nerve wracking at first. You know, the first time you get up there, you're nervous to make that mistake because, you know, you don't want to be embarrassed in front of all the people and in the cameras. But I think after the first dog kicks off the line the first time, the tension's got to ease some. The crown's definitely a whole nother level. And the whole time I'm going to be nervous. Every series, make a mistake. Don't make the mistake. Just play the simple run, let the dogs do their thing, but don't make the big mistakes. No cardinal sins, help them out if they need it. But I will be very nervous going into the crown for the first time.
You're also in the running, kind of right now in the lead, actually, for Eukanuba Team of the Year with a couple of your dogs. What would that mean to you if you were named the Team of the Year with one of your dogs that you work with?
Oh, that would mean a tremendous amount. And I talk to Lee every day about it, and I talk to most people. I'm like, I like the Team of the Year aspect just simply because it shows that you can do it week in and week out, that the dog is compatible to do different tests. It ain't just winning one time. The dog has kept the same high standard all year long, and that would mean a tremendous amount to the amount of time and effort and training put into these dogs.
And what about the crown? What if you won the crown? I mean, can you even wrap your mind around, oh my God, I could be the crown champion?
Oh, I wouldn't even know what to think. I might have to take a week vacation after that.
A well-deserved one for sure. You were talking about your dogs and talking about how some of them come from, you know, like a field trial background and you've had to work with them on the hunt test, or some of them are more familiar with different aspects. I know you even said that, you know, at first Smack wasn't, you know, used to the gun, didn't like, you know, having the gun shot over him and that sort of thing. You specifically as a handler, do you have a strength, or do you feel like you're better at field trials or hunt tests or hunt savvy?
I personally would say I'm better at the hunt test than the other two. The hunt savvy, I would say that's probably the biggest weakness, because it's a lot of experience coming to it. The more times I get to be there, the better I become at it. The field trial series, I've gained a lot this year. A lot, standing at the line, pointing out the guns, knowing how to pick up the birds for my dogs. But the hunt test, I run a bunch of HRC and a bunch of AKC hunt tests, so it just kind of feels more natural at a hunt test series than it does any of the other ones.
And in talking to Brad and in talking to Lee, especially since he's been competing here in recent years, have you also started to maybe adjust your training if there's an aspect of something that's at the crown that you haven't done all year? I know last year's crown, for example, they had some, you know, pine needles in one of the tests, and the dog had to jump over the bales of pine needles. And if you didn't, it was a 50-point penalty. So a lot of people said, oh, you know, now when I go home, I'm going to have to train for that in case they do it again in a future year. Or a couple years ago, we had a snow goose test, and people said, you know, I don't ever practice with those, and so I'm going to need to go back and train with that. Is there anything that you're anticipating that you might need to work on a little bit before the crown?
I haven't set any particular item. I keep watching every SRS and see all the different aspects they put into them, and I've watched the crown. I watched the entire crown last year from home, and for 2 years now I've just kept up with every series of SRSs, keeping all the screenshots of the series and making sure I try to make sure all my dogs are adequately prepared for everything, which you can't do. You can't train them for everything perfectly. I've been doing a bunch of jumping, logs, poles, hay bales, getting in the trees, running through some trees. I seen one series last year where some dogs might have struggled, where they had the blind where they ran right to the base of the tree, then run a little deeper. You know, dogs didn't want to get up in the trees, run over to hay bales, pine straw bales, different stuff. But this year, I would say the one thing I've seen a bunch is outgoing diversions. And I personally don't train very much on them, but my dogs seem to do pretty well on it.
What's one thing about you and your competitiveness, or your maybe a superstition you have, or something about you that your other competitors don't know, that if they're listening to this podcast, they go, that's pretty cool, I didn't know that about Carter?
Well, I'm really sure. One thing about the competitors, and some people already know this, but that run with me a lot, but, and I'm so competitive. Me and Lee both work for Mossy Pond, and this last test, somebody said, well, you just let Lee win one? I said, there's no chance. And Shooter ended up beating Lee in the fourth series, and they kept giving me grief about it. And I said, look, off the line, we're best friends. We work together. But as soon as we step out there, we're competitors. So being super competitive, I'm going up there every time to give my dog the chance to win. That's all I want to do when I step on that line.
Well, Carter, you've had a fantastic year. Looking forward to seeing how the rest of it rolls out. Anywhere else, any more competitions that you're going to compete in between now and the crown?
Yes, sir. There's quite a bit. I'll be at the next one's Pepper's Pond. That's going to be a fun event. It's packed with a lot of people in it. I guess the actual next event is, I actually got two high school kids going to run the SRSU next week. It'll be fun to see my dogs run by kids that haven't been to the line at all. They've never stood at line at any test, but Cappy, Shooter, Joe, they're all gonna be three of mine running it, and it's gonna be fun to be able to watch them and see how the dogs handle to that. And then I'll be at Belden, Mississippi, and then come July I'm gonna hit up three or four, July and August, and I'm also judging the amateur only at Leo Joseph's.
Oh, nice. That's a busy summer for you, for sure. Let's talk real quick about that SRSU. How excited are you to be a coach for those young folks, knowing that you yourself came up in this sport? Like you said, when you were young, you were just a bird boy, and now you're, you know, one of our top competitors. And so, you know, an event like that grows the sport. So how excited are you to be a mentor and coach for those kids at that competition?
Oh, I'm tickled to death. It's one of the greatest things I had to do so far in the dog world is be able to train these two kids that one of them's never been beside a dog ever, and he's just hunted a little bit, and he was interested in it, and I started training with him, and he has come a long way, and he's very knowledgeable at it, and I hope it shows, and I know he's going to be nervous when he steps to the line because he's competitive like I am. And I also got a little girl, a sophomore in high school, and, boy, she is gung-ho about it, and I just hope the dogs work for her, and I'm going to be tickled to see them. Just if they could come away with just three clean series, I'll be so happy for them. Placements don't matter. Just seeing them at the line pick up the birds is going to be enough for me.
Well, Carter, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you, to learn a little bit about you, to learn a little bit about your background and how you're a mentor to others, but also a competitor. Like you said, you and Lee, really good friends off the line, but on the line, you want to win. And we'll look forward to seeing you throughout the rest of the summer and then at the Crown. And perhaps, who knows, maybe you'll be the 2023 Crown champion. Before we let you go, final question we always ask people is, you know, if there's another competitor in the SRS that you would want me to ask a question to in the future, who is it and what question is it? And then, you know, if they're a future guest, I'll say, hey, by the way, we always ask this question to everyone. And Carter Turner wanted me to ask you this question. So who's that competitor and what's that question you'd like me to ask them in the future?
Yes, sir. One question I would always like to ask, and it could go to multiple people, but in particular is Luke Core, is how is his relationship with Rhody, being that he worked for him, and when he steps up there to the test, is he competitive against him, or is he still, you know, buddies? Or I'm sure he's had a great year too, so I'd like to see how competitive he is.
Awesome. That's a great question for him, and I'll be sure to ask either one of that if I have either one of them on as the next guest. But Carter, we just really appreciate your time today, man, and thanks for carving out some time to chat with us, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a great one. Bye.
Yes, sir. Let the bass go.